you, Dr. Murdoch. Our next question is from Heath Robertson, a private investor from Brisbane. Thank you, Heath. Please go ahead.
Oh, how are you, Ross? Thanks for your time, mate.
Heath, hi.
Hey, just a quick one. Thanks, mate. I've been in phosphagenics for a long time now, and I'm probably more focused on the pain, and I think that's where hopefully we'll get our best results. And I was wondering, obviously, oxycodone patches are a pretty big deal at the moment. If things go well, when can you expect a deal to be done? And if things don't go well, where do we go from there? And is more testing required and kind of time frames, if possible?
Yeah, so obviously there's three ways a trial can go, right? It can go well, it can be a sort of a neutral, or it can go badly. We've looked at each of those scenarios. I'll take them in reverse because I always like to finish with the most positive. So, if it doesn't work, we will have to have a hard look at the results because there's multiple ways that a product could fail a clinical trial. If it fails because of safety or tolerability, then really, you know, unless you go back and you try and change it considerably, you are at a point where you have to make the hard decision. If it fails because of efficacy, and that is, you know, that we just don't quite reach statistical significance, you have to make an assessment as to whether if you'd had more patients in the trial, did you make a mistake in your initial calculation as to what you thought the variability or the size of the effect would be? It doesn't say that the product doesn't work. What it does say is that it doesn't, it didn't have the magnitude of difference that you thought. And that, and then you've got to look at whether the indication that you chose for it, so is PHN the perfect one? Would it be likely to give you a better result in other indications? And is pain necessarily the best thing you need to look at? Should you be looking at, say, inflammatory models or something else? We've obviously seen efficacy in the horse model that we looked at, so that gives us confidence that we're going to see something in patients, but it may be that for PHN or something, it just isn't quite there. If we get really good results, then depending on the strength of those, I suspect we will have several groups wanting to talk to us, and that's when we would talk about, you know, being on the short road to a deal. I think people have to put in perspective how long some of these deals can take. So recently there was discussion about the Spinifex deal, which was done with PHN. Admittedly, they had an NCE, but you know that required 2 years after they got results before we really saw a definitive deal. But that deal was substantial. And so what we would do, if we get good results, there are two options. Maybe they can be done in parallel. One would be, obviously, we would be following up the deal track, looking at partners in that way. And then also, we should take this as an indication that the product itself is good and should look at options to move beyond, say, PHN as well. So each of those will be, we've sat and done some sort of scenario planning around each of those. But I believe, you know, we're obviously all betting and hoping that the final scenario is the one that we see.
Yeah, so obviously I think everyone's got their fingers crossed with OxyC. You've mentioned, like, a lot of times you talk about short-term, medium-term. So what do you actually put that as perspective? Like, can you mention something in the short-term or near future? Are we talking months or 12 months or a year? Or what's your definition so we get a bit of better understanding of what you're...
So normally, I would talk about short-term as being within 12 months and medium-term as being 2 years, 2+ years. And when I talk about short- to medium-term in planning, I'm normally talking about our fundable planning sphere. So we're looking at making our funds last, well into 2017 or to the end of 2017. So a lot of these, I'm really driving to have milestones of real value for shareholders that occur within that time frame, because it's no use us putting money into things that will give us value after we need to sort of either gone to the markets or have, you know, for one reason or another, looked for money in other directions. So that's when I talk about short to medium term, that's what I'm really using as a characterization.
No, that's okay. Oh, and just one more quick one, if you don't mind. I know last time you mentioned low-hanging fruit. So is our big trials, is that all the low-hanging fruit we're talking about, or have we got a bit up our sleeve as well?
When I look at our portfolio and really the way we've designed the business, I look at what's going to provide us with revenue and value over time. And, you know, if we start with early research, the probabilities of success for research, like true research, is 1 in 100 succeed. And for me, that's not low-hanging fruit. That's a high-risk thing. Now, it may work or it may not, but we're not going to really be able to show that for a considerable period of time. Whereas if you look at the way we've divided the company up at the moment, we have revenues that exist today through our production group, and an expansion of that capacity will give us increased revenues and better margins within 2016. That for me is relatively low risk and low hanging fruit. If I look at the animal health, where feed is a less complicated mix, it is it'll be commercially ready after we get successful trials. For me, the time period and the risk is much lower for those, so I would class that as low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And then compared with early research, I even would put forward that the oxycodone now, we have some proof of concept in horses, we have a patch, we are in phase two. Relative to early research, that too is low-hanging, although as I went through that cascade, we're moving up the risk category. So that's how I've looked at it. I've certainly looked at our production, bulk production, and I've looked at our animal health as being things that provide us and spread the risk for shareholders across multiple opportunities where each of those are lower than creating new pharmaceuticals.
Excellent. Anyway, well, thanks for that, mate. And hopefully next time we talk, we'll be talking about our good OxyC result.
I certainly hope so. Thank you very much. And
thanks, mate.
And with that, we can probably draw this to a close. I'd again like to thank everyone for hanging on the line and invite people who have further questions to feel free to contact the company, and we can certainly get back to them. So thank you again. The next one of these will be in 3 months' time. So we're expecting that to be in January 2016. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Murdoch.